You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Seb Sanders and James Millman. It's Epsom, Goodwood and Hamilton on Tuesday afternoon. Ripon and Worcester will provide the action in the evening. So some good meetings to look forward to. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to them is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Matt. I'm extremely well, enjoying the sunshine on this bank holiday Monday. And I'm certainly looking forward to William Hill Racing Radio tomorrow when you've got the two exes.
Yeah.
Seb and his good self, Judge Millman. God, blimey. What a duo they are.
Yeah.
Will there be handbags at Paces, do you think, with them tomorrow?
I wonder if they've ever crossed each other in a race.
Oh, I would have thought so, yeah. Yes, definitely. So there could be some past experiences to be relived with the listener tomorrow with them too, couldn't there?
Yeah, it should be good.
It would be interesting, that is for sure. That is for sure.
It'd be like being in the weighing room for myself, won't it?
Oh, you'd be thinking you're a jockey yourself, man, won't you? You know what I mean?
I'd be like a giant compared to them.
And what about your attire? Because I know I've seen you. I was passing, actually, a William Hill shop yesterday.
Is that right?
Happened to look in, and there you were. Our very own Mark Walton on the telly. And you look dapper.
Thank you. Sadly.
To be honest, you look like you stopped off from a wedding or something. Yeah. You were that smart. Amazing.
Yeah. I was told to put my glad rags on. Somebody had phoned in sick, so...
All right.
Quick get in front of this camera.
Excellent. Well, they look really good. I mean, to be honest... First thing that came to my mind, 007.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you.
No, my pleasure.
It was all about the handkerchief in the pocket, wasn't it?
Correct, buddy.
That's what it is.
That's it. That's what swayed it.
Yeah. Enough about that. Anyway, let's have a look at the Monday jury. A few interesting questions in the Racing Post. Monday jury this week, and then we'll move on to Tuesday's action. First question, Pimmy. Lightning Spears trainer David Simcock is not a great fan of this year's three-year-olds. Do you agree?
I don't think we've got a superstar, have we, to say the least. But actually, I do think we've got some real nice horses. I certainly think one of them is Ribchester, who's certainly going the right way for the Richard Fahey yard. You know, he's really seeming to go places now, so definitely would have him. And obviously, we've got to think about Harzand. He's done absolutely nothing wrong, has he?
No. Nope.
And Idaho, who looks a very smart colt indeed and could end up winning a classic before the end of this month. So,
yep.
Although there's no standout for me at this moment in time, I definitely do feel that there are one or two nice horses. Okay, Lightning Spear won the other day. He didn't wow us with his success, did he? And that really looked a below-par group too, to be honest. But at the same time, you can only do what he did, and he won nicely.
Yeah, and one of the more exciting three-year-olds of this year, Thikriat, who was in that race... they're going to do further tests on him to see why he ran so poorly. I don't think that was his running.
Oh, too bad to be true.
Yeah.
Too bad to be true. I mean, something will come out in the wash with him. That's for certain.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, if you've got the likes of Harzan, you've got Minding as well, the Edna O'Brien filly who won the Oaks. And I think there are some good three-year-olds in there. I don't think you can just write out the whole bunch.
I think, again, because one or two of them are much of a muchness, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
We've got nobody standing out on the pedestal, on the podium, getting the gold medal. But we've got plenty... in the periphery, who are certainly plenty good enough. And again, you wouldn't mind training some of those, Mr. Simcock, I shouldn't imagine.
I wouldn't disagree with that. Is Prix de la Nonnette winner La Cressonnière the answer in the arc? She won the other day, and she shortened from 11 to 1 into 8 to 1 for the arc. Three-year-old fillies have a good record in the race. She's unbeaten in her career so far as well, Pimmy. If there were to be a one for the home brigade, I think she's a good chance.
Yeah, she's definitely interesting. Again, you'd have to think, will she stay? You know what I mean? It's a stepping up in trip, which could be a bit of an issue. Again, it's Shanty. Whether they get the real ground that they'd like is another thing as well. So I think there's a few questions to be asked, to be fair. And I think, again, for me, it would be a watching brief as to her chance in the arc. Obviously, we're a little bit biased here because I've postponed, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I'll just spin through the betting as it stands. Postponed, 7-2 favourite, 5-1 Harzand, Minding 7-1, 8-1 La Cressonnière, Makahiki, which is
Makahiki, that one. Love it.
It's a Japanese raider. Obviously, the Japanese try hard to win it at the moment.
Yeah.
The last few years, 12-1. New Bay is 12-1. 14's Almanzor and Found and Highland Reel. And Odd of St. George as well. And then 16's or bigger for the rest. There's quite a few of the British contingent in there that you'd like to see win, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd love to see Papone win, to be honest. I saw him at York. He looked a picture of health. He put up a fantastic performance. And, you know, he could be a standout horse for the season, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I thought the trip was too short for him at York. There was a question marks over Roger Varian's yard. I was a little bit lukewarm about him on the day. And to be fair to him, the way he's won the race, he's right up there with the Group 1 older horses, isn't he?
Most certainly, yeah. Most certainly, yeah. I mean, it was a good performance. He looked tremendously well. But like you say, you just questioned his well-being because Roger Varian hadn't been firing on all cylinders.
Mm. Who is your money on for the Stobart Jockeys Championship? Obviously being shaken up this year by Jim Crowley firing to the top to take on Sylvester D'Souza.
Well, I think it's brilliant that we're getting a little bit of a race for the Jockeys Championship, that is for sure, because it's been a bit bland of late, really. So you've got Sylvester and you've got Jim Crowley. And I think, again, any nonsense that Ryan Moore's going to be bothered about it, can't see that happening. One or two whispers that James Doyle might be interested in having a crack at it, can't believe that either. And again, as we speak, we've just seen the opening race at Epsom, and Sousa has just got the better of Crowley in a very, very tight finish. Now, that there will be a little bit of a boost for Sylvester,
yeah,
and just a slight knockback for Crowley, who, to be fair, has been riding winners left, right and centre of late. But again, in that head-to-head, D'Souza got the better, and again, that might just boost his confidence. I think, as I spoke at the podcast, I think it was last week, regarding these two guys, I think because Sylvester has that bit better opportunities with his weight, that might just sway it for him. But Crowley will never ever get a chance like this, I shouldn't imagine, again. It seems that he and his agent are going to give it 110%. So it will actually, hopefully, keep us just going through that tail end of the season into those autumn months with just a little bit of something to whet the appetite.
Yeah. Here's how we bet for the Flat Jockeys Championship. Jim Crowley, 8-13 at the top of the market, 6-5 for Sylvester D'Souza, 33-1 James Doyle, 50s or bigger for the rest.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to have my little few bob on Sylvester now.
Yeah.
Definitely.
6-5, is he a couple behind, or we might just draw on level again today?
I think he started play today, he was 2 or 3 behind, he's just pulled one back, so you know, there's not a lot in it, whatever.
No, exactly, yeah.
Whatever.
Is Idaho a good thing for the St. Ledger, or is there one to shake him up?
Listen, as Aidan would say, now listen, Mac, I think he's a very class horse. I think a step up to 1.6 isn't going to be an issue for him either. And he's going to go there as a favourite. And I'd imagine he's the one they've all got to beat, to be fair. So I like Idaho as an individual. Obviously, you know, Aidan O'Brien's farmed the race on many occasion for the St. Ledger. And often that's where we get the top national hunt sires coming from, such as Milan, Brian Boru, Scorpion, to name but a few.
Yeah, he's even money at the top of the market for the St. Ledger, and just on his voltage of success, it looks like the further he goes, the better he's going to be. And the way he swept from last to first to win under a very confident ride from Shamie Heffernan at York, you'd suggest the St. Ledger could be tailor-made for him.
Oh yeah, definitely. He's got lots of ticks in boxes to be the worthy favourite, that's for sure.
Mm, even money Idaho. Munterheart 8-1, 10-1 Red Verdon, Wings of Desire another at 10s. 12 Sword Fighter, Houses of Parliament is 14, 16s or bigger. For the rest, that's how we bet at the moment. Give us a 2-year-old who can make an impact in the big autumn showdowns that are looming.
Oh, go on now. You've got me a little bit on a sticky wicket there, to be fair, Mark. But the one that just springs to my mind is an Andrew Balding. South Seas ran really well in the Solario at Sandown, and I think there could be an awful lot more to come from that one. So a 2-year-old that can make an impact in the autumn, I'm going to side with South Seas.
I would have said Caravaggio until the news about him picking up an injury. He's obviously a very fast 2-year-old. And
I didn't realise he picked up an injury, to be honest.
Yeah, just come out yesterday, in fact. You know, Brian said that he's pulled a muscle in his rib cage.
Right, OK. Well, that'd be painful. Again, that must be a very difficult injury to diagnose.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you? Very difficult to diagnose.
And then to keep them still enough for it to settle as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not like you can just say stand still in the corner put your hooves up some. No.
Yeah, so he's the bit of touch and go whether he'll reach in the middle park in time. I'll be fit in time for the middle park. I'd just throw in Fair Eva into there. She got beat in the Lowther.
Yeah, she did. Yeah,
but I think she's not one to write off just yet. I think she'll be better with a bit of a step up in trip. She's got plenty of size about her. I think a bit of time will help her. And speaking to Andy Holding, one of our colleagues who does the speed figures, he said the time of the race was nearly broke his clock. So it's not necessarily that Fair Eva's run terribly under par. It's just that Queen Kindly's gone very fast.
Yeah, again, and she's been held in high regard from the Fahey Yard. I know he was gutted when she got beaten at Royal Ascot, so yeah. There was no disgrace, more than likely, in getting beaten by the Fahey filly.
Mm. All right, final question then of this week's Monday Jory. We finish off with who wins Haydock's Sprint Cup on Saturday? Very easy question for you to finish with there.
Easy question, easy answer. Quiet reflection. She was brilliant there earlier on the season at Haydock. There's no reason why she shouldn't be again this time. And by the looks of things, she's going to get going very similar to what she won on there earlier on in the year. So she's definitely, for me, the one they've got to beat. And I think it's great because it's Dougie Costello. You know, he's not flying high as a flat jockey, but he's shown that he's very capable of doing it. And again, shown that if these lads get the opportunities on a good horse, they're as easily as capable as many of the top boys.
Yeah. Warming up to be a good race. Quiet Reflection, 4-1 at the top of the market. Limato, 9-2. 6-1 for the Tin Man. Twilight Sun, 6s. 7s Magical Memory. 8s Dancing Star, if she turns up. 14-1 or bigger for the rest.
Yeah, again, whether Limato would turn up as well, that might come a bit quick for him, mightn't he, after the Nunthorpe. But it'll be a good race. And again, I think possibly the ground could be the deciding factor.
Yeah. So that's the Monday Jury, and that's it for another week. Let's leave that there and get stuck into Tuesday's action. Pimmy's got four races prepared for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Some good meetings to come on Tuesday. We start our look ahead in the 3-10 at Epsom, which is a Class 3 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for the 3-year-olds. And although we've got a field of 11 to go to post here, Pimmy, and it's quite an open start here with the sprints are usually quite wide open anyway.
Yeah, very, very competitive little sprint to get us underway with the podcast. And Richard Fahey, well represented here. He's got Arctic Feeling, the mount of Natalie Hambling, and he's also got Spirit of Zeb, the mount of the £5 claimer McNamara. And he actually won this race last year with a horse called Kelman. And George Chandler did the steering on that occasion. So he's well represented in a race that he knows what it takes to win it. But I'm going to take a chance here with another Northern Raider in the shape of Highly Sprung. Was a winner off a mark of 77 last time out. Again, goes up to a mark of 83 because of that success at Newmarket. But I definitely think there's more to come from this Mark Johnson-trained 3-year-old. And he would be the idea of the winner in that 3-10.
Highly Sprung then. The selection for Pimmy in the 3-10 at Epsom. We move to Goodwood next for the 3:35. And this is a Phillies Nursery, a Class 2 event for the 2-year-olds. Over 6 furlongs, we've got 9 of them in the lineup here, Pimmy. And we'll start with the Wagon Wheel, if we may. Richard Fahey's runner, Richard Fahey's filly there, has had 2 starts and won them both.
Oh, she was just fab for me at York last time out. Beat La Casa Tarifa very cosily indeed. I think the third horse has run since. The horse of Mark Johnson's that's slightly disappointed next time out. But I thought this Wagon Wheel had got black type written all over her, to be fair. Obviously, she's gone up the weight, a massive £9 from that success on the Naismeyer 13 days ago. But I do feel that was warranted. For me, as I say, I don't think she'll be running in too many handicaps in the future. I was really taken by her performance, and I'm finding it difficult to more than likely find something to take her on, to be fair. Lots of the other girls in the race have been consistent. Raja has put a hat-trick of wins together earlier on in the season. Camargue's an interesting one. Another one from Mark Johnson. Sea of Snow, disappointed last time out for Johnson. Hugo Palmer's Ben Case was a readied winner last time. Paco's Angel for the Hughes and Kelly combination has been very consistent. Twizzler thought slightly disappointed last time out when it was in a listed fillies race at York. But again, she will find this a little bit easier tomorrow afternoon. Miss Sugars is tough and consistent, and also is at Texas Katie. So all nice fillies heading to post for this Carlton Hunt Nurseries handicap. But I'm going to side with a filly that I think is better than handicap class, and that's the Wagon Wheel.
The Wagon Wheel to maintain her unbeaten run then for Pimmy in the 3.35. The 4.10 at Goodwood is where we go next. This is a Class 2 handicap. It's the Royal Sussex Regiment Stakes.
Oh, short his way up, long his way down, Pike. Yes, indeed. Yeah, I love that little bit of pomp and circumstance of this race, don't you?
Yeah, of course, yeah. It's over 2 miles, 3-year-olds and older in the lineup here. 7 of them Pimmy, which makes it a little bit tricky from an each-way perspective, perhaps. But you got some informed runners in there, the likes of Artie Campbell and Sam Michel down at the bottom there. Pretty good form, the pair of them.
Yeah, he is indeed, yeah. And again, certainly Artie Campbell and Sam Michel have been in cracking form of late. Sam Michel won off a mark of 86 last time, so has gone up £7 for that success at Newmarket. 2 miles was the trip then, 2 miles again tomorrow afternoon. And obviously from the Sir Mark Prescott Yard, you'll be taking him very seriously indeed. Artie Campbell, he's an interesting one, trained by Bernard Llewellyn. Again, he was a readied winner at Kempton last time out. And the horse that I'm going to side with, though, is a horse that hasn't had his head in front for a little while but has been running really well in defeat, and that's in the shape of Persevere. I thought it ran plenty well enough behind Star Raider at the Glorious Goodwood meeting. Admittedly, that was 2 miles five. Steps back in trip to 2 miles tomorrow. But I definitely think Persevere can be a big player.
Persevere, then, the selection for Pimmy in the 4.10 at Goodwood, and we finish off with a look at the 6.45 at Ripon. This is a Class 3 handicap over 5 furlongs. A field of 13 of them will go to post here for this sprint. Pimmy, which one comes on in front?
I think the important factor here, Mark, is the name of the race. It's the David Chapman Memorial Handicap. So first port of call has got to be, has granddaughter Ruth Carr got a runner in the race?
Yeah.
And yes, she has, in the shape of Lexington Place. Now, Lexington Place for me has been a little bit in and out so far this season. Ran well enough, I thought, in defeat behind Bathsheba at Doncaster last time out. Again, you'd possibly put that as a little bit of an under par performance when he was a 10-1 shot. But drawn in 10 tomorrow, special race for the Chapman, special race for granddaughter Ruth Carr. I think if you're looking for something for value, that's got to be the route for me. As I say, 10's a positive draw as well, and I'm sure it's going to be an each-way price and a double-figure price. So Lexington Place is my each-way slant on the race. The horse that I think is going to be good enough to win it is from the Roger Varian Yard. It's the filly called Imtiaz. And again, she's been running really well of late, to be perfectly honest. Again, she's been plying a trade in a far better company than this of late. And you'd have to think that a little step down in grade tomorrow will see her getting back to winning ways. And again, coming out of stall number 11, all positive.
Yeah, Imtiaz and the win selection, if you like, for Pimmy. And each way play on Lexington Place would be a nice story should Ruth Carr win the race, as Pimmy's highlighted there. Good stuff. Let's have a little bit of a summary before you go, then.
Yeah, indeed. It's amazing. The list, the lower, the better it all comes out, isn't it? Which is always happy. So starting with my first selection, of which I'm hoping is going to be a winning Yankee tomorrow afternoon. It's highly sprung for me in the first race. Goodwood's nursery for the girls. I'm going to go with the Wagon Wheel. And then the 2 mile Royal Sussex Regiment handicap for Persevere. And in the race that celebrates David Chapman, that fantastic trainer who was based at Easing World, I'm hoping that Roger Varian's filly, Imtiaz, can get the job done and get back to winning ways. And siding with David Chapman's granddaughter's Lexington Place each way slant.
Superb, good work for me. Good luck, and enjoy it on Tuesday.
We look forward to it.
There you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Seb Sanders and James Millman. It's Epsom, Goodwood and Hamilton in the afternoon, Ripon and Worcester in the evening. So a good day to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's racing.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.